We will be strictly in the New Testament this morning. Matthew, and what we're going to be doing is going all through the New Testament. So there'll be a lot of scriptures, not through the whole book, of course. We don't have enough time for that, do we? But we'll be looking at various books in scripture today. And you might want to write down some of the references. Today we'll be looking at New Testament titles of Christ. New Testament titles of Christ. So we'll be looking at various scriptures, quite a few of them. And this is in no means exhaustive. This is in no means exhaustive of the names of Christ. And I'll be making a few comments upon the scriptures, but we're going to let the scriptures speak. And let the scriptures speak. Now, a title. What does a title do? A title for a person proclaims who they are. It identifies them. A title identifies who a person is. When we say the President of the United States, we know who that is. In Canada, if you say the Prime Minister, people know who that is. Same in England. A king, back in the days when kings, when you said he's king, they knew who you were talking about. And you were talking about a specific person. So a title, even in companies, you have CEOs. And you might have one CEO running the whole company. Well, when you say his name, the people who work for him know who he is. They know. It identifies. It identifies who that person is. Who that person is. Well, what a Savior we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. Because His titles proclaim who He is. They identify who He is. And we will look at some of these today. And I hope and pray that we'll leave here, as Brother John said, just rejoicing. Because when we consider these titles, oh, the greatness of our Savior. The greatness of our Redeemer. And what a great work He's done. He left heaven to redeem us and to save us from our sins, to be our propitiation. And as I said, you may want to write a few of these down, because there's going to be quite a few of them. And they identify Him. And these titles, beloved, identify Christ plainly. We'll see, plainly. But yet, you must be given spiritual eyes, and I must be given spiritual eyes to see Him. Or we'll never know Him. But for God's people, these will light your soul and lift your heart up. And again, we always pray that the Holy Spirit would illuminate the Scriptures, right? Because without Him illuminate the Scriptures, we won't see anything. But oh, if He illuminates the Scriptures, if He points us And the Holy Spirit won't speak of Himself. There's whole movements out there made on the Holy Spirit. And Scripture declares He won't speak of Himself. He'll point you right to Christ. So we pray that He would illuminate the Scriptures. Teach us of Christ. And we'll go book by book. We won't go through every book, but we'll go through a lot of them. Book by book, in order. So it'll be easy to turn there. First of all, Matthew chapter 1. He's called the Son of David in Scripture. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. So we see here, He's fully God. And He's fully man. He's in the lineage of David. The Son of David, the Son of Abraham. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 2. Next, He's proclaimed to be, and remember, these are His titles. He is the Son of David. He is the Son of David. Next, He's proclaimed to be King of the Jews. Look in Matthew 2, verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? King of the Jews. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And note in that little verbiage right there, where is he that is what? Born king. Born king, beloved. He's born king. No one makes him king. He's born king. He's king before he comes here. He's king when he comes into this world. And he's king right now, beloved. He's born king, but he's king of the Jews. Turn, if you would, or look at verse 15 next. He's proclaimed to be the Son of God. The Son of God. So we saw that he's the Son of David. Now he's proclaimed to be the Son of God. Verse 15. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken to the Lord by the prophet of Egypt, have I called my son? Have I called my son? The Word, the second person of the Trinity, the Word has become flesh and dwelt among us. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, next he's proclaimed to be the bridegroom. And we know that we're the bride of Christ, right? That God's people are the bride of Christ, purchased by his own precious blood. Purchased by his own precious blood. And these titles, remember, these titles identify who our God is, who our Savior is. Matthew 9:15, and Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? There he is. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and they shall fast. The believer is married to Christ, beloved. He's our bridegroom. He's our bridegroom. Turn, if you would, next to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. In the book of Mark, he's proclaimed to be the Holy One of God. Now remember, these are titles of him. These are who he is. They identify who he is. He's the Holy One. All we are is sin. But the Scriptures plainly declare that he is the Holy One. And look at who? Look at Mark 1, 24 and 25, saying, let us alone. These are the demons saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? They know their time is short. I know thee, who thou art. Look at this, the Holy One of God. That's our Savior, beloved. This is an identification of who he is. We're unholy. He's the Holy One of God. Perfect, sinless, spotless. And look at the power our King has. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. Oh, what power, what sovereignty. Even the fallen angels acknowledge who he is, the Holy One of Israel. And they know him, and they notice, and they tremble at his presence. And yet sinful men just shake their hands. Aren't you thankful that God had mercy on us? Because we used to shake our hands. Oh my. The fallen angels even trembled in his presence. And then the power and authority of our great Savior silencing them. Silencing them. And commanding them to come out of the men. Turn, if you would, to Mark 15. Mark 15. Next, he's proclaimed to be the King of Israel. And so these are titles. He is the Holy One of God. He's perfect, spotless, sinless. God incarnate in the flesh. And next, he's called the King of Israel. And look at this. Mark 15:32. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that crucified with him were with him reviled him. His enemies in their ignorance. Now notice this. His enemies in their ignorance proclaim that he's the King of Israel. And he is. Are not his people the Israel of God, beloved? He's the King of Israel. He's our King, beloved. He's the Messiah. He was born to die. He was born to save his people from their sins. That's the whole reason he came. That's the whole reason. He's the King of Israel. And what does a king do? He takes care of his people. He watches over them. Right? And he redeemed us with his own precious blood. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. Next, he's proclaimed to be the horn of salvation. The horn of salvation. Salvation is only in Christ. You cannot save yourself. I cannot save myself. But there is one who saves sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ. And for the believer, he's the horn of our salvation. Look at Luke 1, 68 and 69. Blessed, and look at this. Look at this. The Lord has visited us, beloved. We his people. Look at this. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and what? And redeemed his people. He purchased us with his own precious blood, beloved. And he hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant. This shows us his humanity. This shows us his humanity, beloved. The humanity of Christ. He was sent and rose up, raised up for us. Christ was raised up by God himself. To what? The answer is in Luke 1:68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. If you're saved, you're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, because God sent him into this world to die for your sins. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And these titles bring such strength to the Lord. They tell us who he is. Look at Luke 2:25. He's called the Consolation of Israel. He's called the Consolation of Israel. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, Luke 2:25, waiting for the Consolation of Israel. Who's the Consolation of Israel? The Lord Jesus Christ, beloved. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Again, this title speaks of him as Messiah. To the Jews, a consolation was a comforter. A comforter. And Christ is our comforter, beloved. He's our comforter. He's a comforter to his redeemed people. Next, turn, if you would, to John 1:14. 1:14, he's proclaimed to be the only begotten Son. And we know from John 1:1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we know that the second person of the Trinity is called the Word in Scripture. And look at what the marvelous Scripture declares before us here. John 1:14, he's the only begotten of the Father, the only begotten Son. And the Word was what? Made flesh. He was made flesh. God himself became a man. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. He's the only begotten of the Father. Only Christ. Full of grace and truth. And then look at verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son. There's his title again. He's the only begotten Son, beloved. Which is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared him. The one spoken of in verse 14 is God himself. God incarnate in the flesh. And next he's proclaimed to be the Lamb of God. Look at John 1:29. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. Here he's proclaimed to be the Lamb of God. Now think of this. Now think of this implication of this title, okay? The Jews offered lambs all the time, didn't they? Sacrifices. Okay? Countless lambs. Now look at the singularity of his name. The Lamb of God. One. No other. No other, beloved. And this is what the text says, and it's marvelous for us. But this identifies who he is. Next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, look, behold. Who? Who is he? The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The perfect, spotless Lamb of God, sinless in thought, word, and deed. Perfect, the perfect man. Again, he's identified in verse 36. Looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. There he is. The Lamb of God. There's only one. Only one. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 6. Next, he's identified as the bread of life. We need bread to live, don't we? Food to live. So this title identifies that he's all our sustenance. He's all we need. John 6:35, the Scripture declares this. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Now notice the singularity there again. I am the bread of life. There's no other. He's the Lamb, and he's the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Isn't that wonderful? Just wonderful. But he's identified as the bread of life. Next, he's identified as the light of the world. John 8:12. John 8:12. We live in darkness, don't we? Man, natural man lives in darkness, whether they know it or not. They live in absolute darkness. Born into this world, dead in trespasses and sins, without any hope. But oh, Christ our Savior, who's identified as the light of the world, has come into the world. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light. Again, singular, the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. But shall have the light of life. Again, we groped around in darkness in our natural state before the Lord saved us. But now the believer walks in the light of Christ. We walk in Christ who is our light. Christ who is our light. Look at John 8:58. Now here, he's proclaimed to be the I am. The I am. We know the one who spoke to Moses at the burning bush was the great I am, right? We know that. Here he identifies himself. The great I am. Again, well, it's in the same verse. I'm sorry, verse 12. I'm sorry. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Here he's identifying himself as the I am. But let me pull up John chapter 8, verse 58. This is a very important verse here. I didn't put it in my notes. John 8:58. Look at this. Now the Jews knew who the I am was. They know he was the one who spoke from the burning bush. Now look at this. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And then they took up stones to kill him, didn't they? But they didn't, because it wasn't his time. It wasn't the appointed time of his death. Next, he's proclaimed to be the door of the sheep. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 10. Now remember, all these are identifications of who our King is, titles of who our King is, who our God is, who our Savior is. The door of the sheep. When you go through a door, you go into somewhere, don't you? Well, he's the door. There's no other door to heaven. There's no other door to the Father but Christ and him alone. John 10, verses 7 and verse 9. First verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I send you, I am the door of the sheep. We are his sheep, aren't we? We, his people, are his sheep. He's the door we go into. He's the way, the truth, and the life. We'll look at that later. He's the door. And then look at John 10:9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Well, that's pretty plain speaking, isn't it? And remember, this is God incarnate in the flesh speaking this. So if you don't go in through Christ, what? You're not saved. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He's the door. Next, he's proclaimed to be the good shepherd. Look at John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd. What does the good shepherd do? The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's the good shepherd. He gave his life for his sheep. He cares and loves for his sheep so much that he gave his life for us. That he gave his life for us. And then, all through our pilgrimage through this world and through this earth, he continues to care for us and continues to provide for us. He's the good shepherd. And this is one of his titles. This is identifies who he is. He's the good shepherd. Next, he's proclaimed to be the resurrection and the life. Look at John 11. John 11. Verses 25 and 26. He's declared to be the resurrection and the life. There is no resurrection and no life outside of Christ. And yes, I will say this unashamedly, that all the religions in the world are false. Christ is the only way. Now, people, you say that, people are like, oh, how can you? Because it's true. Every other religion in the world leads to damnation. Damnation of the soul. But Christ is the resurrection, and He is the life. He is. There is no way to heaven, no way to glory, except through Christ Jesus our Lord. John 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, again, singular, I am the resurrection and the life. There He is. He's the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And here's the question. Believest thou this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? This poor sinner does. He's my resurrection. He's my life. Oh my. And I pray that if he's not yours, that God would make it so. That he'd move in your heart and show you your desperate need for Christ. Because he is the resurrection and the life. Turn, if you would, to John 14, verse 6. Here we see him proclaimed as the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way but Christ. There's no other truth but Christ. There's no other life but Christ. Right? When we die, if we die outside of Christ, we go to eternal death and damnation. But in Christ, we have eternal life. And look at this, no man cometh unto the Father, look at this, but by me. It's singular again. It's singular again. No other way. No other way. And then he's proclaimed to be the true vine in John 15, 1. He's the true vine. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. The one true vine, the one whom all believers are in. As branches, the one true vine. And we know from the scripture further down in John 15 that without him we could do nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Next he's proclaimed, turn if you would to Acts chapter 3. Oh, beloved, he's proclaimed to be the Prince of Life. The Prince of Life. He alone, think of this, he alone is the author of life, natural and spiritual. If you're sitting here and breathing right now, saved or unsaved, it's because God has given you the breath of life. He's the author of all life, spiritual, natural, and eternal life. Because He is the living God. He is the living God. Look at Acts 3, verses 14 and 15. But ye denied the Holy One. There's another title again. And here, and the Just. There's another title. He's the Just One. And desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life. Now, think of this. They killed the Prince of Life according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. In order that we might be redeemed from all our sins, beloved. The Prince of Life. The Prince of Life. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witness. And remember, he was willingly hanging on that cross. And he willingly gave up the ghost. It is finished. What a Savior. What a Redeemer is Jesus Christ our Lord. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 5. Next, he's proclaimed to be our Prince and Savior. Now, do you see the hope that these titles bring God's people? The comfort that they bring God's people? Because of who we see. him declared to be. Here he's declared to be our Prince and Savior. Acts chapter 5, verses 30 and 31. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus. It's all God's work. It's all his work. Whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a Prince and a Savior. Is he your Prince and Savior? He's mine. God's people say, yes. Yes, he's my Prince and he's my Savior. A Prince and a Savior. Look at this. For to give repentance to Israel. He gives us the gift of repentance, beloved. He gives us the gift of faith. It's all by grace we're saved. All by grace. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. To give repentance to Israel. And what? And forgiveness of sins. How many? All of them. All of our sins. Oh, he's our Prince and our Savior. He's our King, beloved. To give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. My. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 10. Next, he's proclaimed to be the judge of the living and of the dead. He's the judge of the living and of the dead. Now think of this. People may mock Christ right now. And we all know people who mock Christ. Because I used to be one of them. To my shame. But God saved me by his grace. Oh, but one day, people who mock Christ in this life, and they mock the followers of Christ in this life, mark my words, they will one day face he who is the judge of the living and of the dead. And they who have mocked, they will tremble in fear, and they will cry for the mountains to fall upon him, because he is the judge. He is the judge of the living and of the dead. Acts 10:42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. And they will tremble in fear at his almighty presence before they are cast into hell. Because his justice must be satisfied. Aren't you thankful, you who are redeemed, that God's justice was satisfied for us in Christ? My. We see him as our Savior, and others will see him as their judge. As their judge. Mercy. The only reason that we differ from them is Christ. In Christ alone, the mercy and grace of God in Christ. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 28. Oh, next he's proclaimed to be the hope of Israel. Is Christ your hope? Is he not the hope of the Israel of God? Have we not stopped hoping in ourselves, beloved? And now we look to Christ, who is our hope. He's our only hope. He's our only hope. Acts 28:20. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you, to speak with you. Because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. That Christ is the hope of Israel, beloved. And Paul is here in bonds because of preaching the gospel. Because of preaching the gospel of Christ. Turn, if you would, there. Romans chapter 9. Next, we'll see him proclaimed as the rock of offense. And he was an offense in his day. And beloved, he's still an offense in our day. He's still an offense in our day. To many in our day, he's a stumbling stone, just as he was a stumbling stone to many in his day. And he's a rock of offense. Look at Romans chapter 9, verse 33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion. Now, this is God doing this. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. He's a rock of offense to people. Brother Noel, you and I know how we were before the Lord saved us. He was a rock of offense to us, wasn't he? Not no more. Now he's our hope. Now he's our hope. And then look at Romans chapter 11. I love this. He's proclaimed to be the deliverer. The deliverer. The single. Again, it's a singularity. The deliverer. There's no other deliverer from our sins. None. Romans 11, 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer. And you know, all of God's elect will be saved, won't they? Every single one of them. There won't be one missing. Not one. And so all Israel shall be saved, it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer. There he is. Has he not delivered you from your sins? And shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That's his people. That's his people. Next, he's proclaimed to be our Passover. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He's proclaimed to be our Passover. He's the Lamb of God, and he's our Passover, beloved. He's our Passover. God passes over our sins because of the sacrifice of Christ, because his blood was shed before God's law and justice in our place. In our place. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as it are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is what? Sacrificed for us. If you're saved, Christ was sacrificed for you. Just let that sink in. That's incredible. Sacrifice for me. Me who is a sinner by birth, nature, and choice. Christ was sacrificed for me. My goodness. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 1. Next, he's proclaimed to be Lord. Lord. He's proclaimed to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, as some people foolishly say out there, that a person can make Christ Lord, that's impossible, because he's already Lord. We don't make him Lord. God declared him to be Lord. He's Lord. Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of his titles, beloved. How can people take one of his titles and say we make him that? That's so ridiculous. This is his title. Ralph Bernard used to always say, the Lord Jesus Christ. He always said his full name. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who set us free from the law. He's the one who set us free from its condemnation. He's the one who fulfilled God's justice in our place. He's Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord over all, over everything. He's proclaimed to be the last Adam. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I missed this one. I'm making you go backwards this time. 1 Corinthians 15. In Adam, we fell, didn't we? We were plunged into death, spiritual death. But in Christ, we're made alive. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. He's the last Adam, beloved. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. He's proclaimed to be the head over all things. Again, people mock him and they shake their fist at him. One day, they're going to tremble in fear. Because he's the head of over all things. He's in charge right now. Right now. And the only reason we breathe is because of his sovereign decree. Ephesians 1 verse 22 says this, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He is the head over all things, beloved. Ephesians chapter 2, he's declared to be the cornerstone. the cornerstone. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. This speaks of the body of Christ. He's the foundation. He's the chief cornerstone. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. Here he's declared to be the name above all names. The name above all names. He's so favored by God that God has highly exalted him. Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Look at this. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Every knee. Even the ones who mocked him, shook their fist at him, they're going to bow one day. They're all going to bow. My. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They're going to proclaim that Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. My. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. Next, he's proclaimed to be the image of the invisible God. God incarnate in the flesh. The image of the invisible God. God incarnate. Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God. This speaks of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The firstborn of every creature. And then look at verse 18. He's proclaimed to be three different things here. He's proclaimed to be the head of the body, the beginning, and the firstborn from the dead. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. He's the beginning. He's Alpha. The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He must have the preeminence. Look at verse 27. He's proclaimed to be the hope of glory. Whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Who's your hope? Who's your hope? And he's not just our hope. He's the hope of all who are in glory right now. And they're seeing him face to face. They're seeing him face to face. Turn, if you would, to 1 or 2 Thessalonians 3:16. He's proclaimed to be the Lord of peace. Why is he proclaimed to be the Lord of peace? Because he's made peace with God for his people. We were at enmity with God. We were enemies in our minds, Scripture declares, with God. But yet, we now have peace with him. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by means. The Lord be with you all. The Lord of peace. Turn, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. He's declared to be the King of Ages. His reign is eternal, beloved. It'll never end. Never end. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Turn one chapter over. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. He's declared to be the mediator. For there is one God, in one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Again, the singularity of it, of Christ, the one mediator. Turn, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 6. He's declared to be the only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's some man who has these shenanigans in Rome and calls himself the potentate. He's not. He is a false prophet. He's a false prophet. There's only one potentate. There's only one king. There's only one Lord. 1 Timothy 6, 15 and 16, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. There's only one potentate. That's Christ. Turn, if you would, to Titus 2:13. He's proclaimed to be the blessed hope for believers, the great God and Savior of his people. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's not just our great God, he's our Savior. God himself is the believer's Savior. God himself became a man. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews 2:17. Next, he's proclaimed to be the faithful high priest. The faithful high priest. Brother Matt touched on Melchizedek. Well, that's a Christophany of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:17. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. He's a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. To what? To make reconciliation for the sins of his people. So he's not only the offering, but he's the high priest. He's the high priest, beloved. My, oh my. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. Scripture declares he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It is finished. Turn, if you would, to James chapter 2. Verse 1, he's declared to be the Lord of glory. The Lord of glory. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. He's not just Lord here. He's Lord everywhere. He's the Lord of glory, beloved, with respect to persons. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter 5:4. He's proclaimed to be the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd. All other shepherds pale in comparison to him who is the chief shepherd. First Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. He is the chief shepherd. Turn, if you would, to 1 John 1:21. Here our Lord is declared to be our advocate. And praise God, we have an advocate with the Father. Praise God, it's by his precious blood that we can approach the Father. I need an advocate, do you? I need an advocate with God. My little children, 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, who? Jesus Christ. And not just any man, the righteous. God incarnate in the flesh. The righteous. The righteous. Turn, if you would, to Jude 24. He's proclaimed to be the only wise God, our Savior. Jude, verse 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior. You see, let this sink in for us, beloved. The one who saved us and the one who keeps us is God. The only wise God. That's security, isn't it? That's security. That's a hope. That's a nail in a sure place. That's a nail in a sure place. My goodness. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 1. Here he's proclaimed to be the Alpha and the Omega. The Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Revelation 1, verse 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, "Fear not." Oh, God's people hear those wonderful words from our Savior, don't we? Fear not. Fear not. The wrath and justice of God has been turned away. Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Oh, beloved, he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending of our salvation. Salvation is of the Lord, all his doing. Turn, if you would, to Revelation 5:5. We're closing fast here. Revelation 5:5. Oh, I love this. This is a title that's near to my heart. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He came as a lamb. Next he come as a lion. And he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's a warrior, beloved. He's our king. Revelation 5:5. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed." He's prevailed over our sins, beloved. He's prevailed over the justice of God. He's prevailed over the law. He's prevailed over the grave. He hath prevailed. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. What a Savior we have, beloved. What a Savior. And turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 19. He is proclaimed to be the Word of God. The Word of God. Revelation 19, 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And then look at verse 16. He's proclaimed to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings. He's supreme and a Lord of Lords. Everything and everyone is under him, visible and invisible. That's our Savior. That's our Redeemer. That's the one who keeps my soul. Is he the one who keeps your soul? Rejoice, beloved. Rejoice. And lastly, he's proclaimed to be the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Turn, if you would, to Revelation 22:16. Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have set mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. Oh, beloved, what a Redeemer is Jesus Christ our Lord. His titles identify what we've looked at today. His titles identify who he is. Who he is. And Paul summed it up with these. Turn one last scripture, Colossians chapter 3, and we can see how Paul summed it all up when speaking of the body of Christ, when speaking of his elect, and what Christ is to us. And when we consider all the titles that we looked at, and we didn't even touch them all, when we consider the titles that we looked at, oh, does this not sum up our words? And we're closing with this. Colossians 3:11. Speaking of the body of Christ, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, and the Scythian were worse than the barbarians. They were called the barbarians of the barbarians. Barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all. He is all and in all. What a Savior. Gracious Heavenly Father, We just come before your throne in absolute awe of who our Savior is. These titles we've looked at today identify, Lord Jesus, who you are. Oh, what majesty and power. What mercy and grace are on display, even in the titles of who you are. And the fact that you left heaven to die for sinners, to die for your people. May we leave here and marveling, we who are redeemed, marveling in the wonderful salvation that we have in thee. For your glory and honor and praise, we sing unto thee. In Jesus' name, amen.